Once again this morning, the gospel presents us with a marvelous story of healing. More often than not, these healing stories are about an individual who has been transformed by the presence and power of Jesus. But today, it's a little bit different because it is a group, 10 persons, 10 lepers who encounter Jesus as he and his disciples are traveling toward Jerusalem. Like many others, it's a story of those considered unclean being made clean. It's a story of those who seem to have already heard something about this Jewish rabbi because they are approaching him as he's coming into the village. Except, as I said, it's not an individual who approaches Jesus, it is a group healing. And what makes this story particularly interesting is that the response to that healing is not uniform in the group. It's the story of those who do exactly what Jesus tells them to do after they've been healed, except for one who turns back, one who returns to thank Jesus and to praise God for what has happened to him. And so these different responses actually provoke a question in Jesus' mind. Were not 10 made clean, but the other 9? Where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? So there is this sense that while Jesus is commending the Samaritan leper for returning to give thanks, he sounds more than a little disappointed in the other 9. But that question can be asked another way. At Bible study at vestry meeting this week, in fact, one member of the vestry asked it this way: well, what about those 9? Weren't they doing exactly what they were told to do? Why shouldn't they be commended as well? Well, the story may focus on the leper who returned, but I would like us to stay with those 9 for just a little bit. Partly because I know in my heart I want them to be commended. They followed the rules. They were doing what their religious practice would consider the appropriate next step. And yet apparently somehow they're missing out on something more. Some of us are independent spirits. We look at authority and we take it lightly as we move through life. Some of us have questioning or rebellious attitudes that stay a part of our character long after adolescence. And sometimes those attitudes can get us in trouble, and sometimes they can serve us very well. And some of us, and I confess I am one of them, some of us are more naturally inclined to respect those who have authority in our lives and who believe that if you do what you are taught and you follow the rules, all will be well, and maybe you might even be commended. Well, our story suggests that all these lepers knew how to abide by the social and religious rules of the day. Recall that in Jesus' time, to suffer from leprosy meant that you were considered ritually unclean. You were not allowed to be integrated into the life of the community, fully accepted or fully welcomed. So it was that lepers tended to form communities of themselves, traveling in groups. They avoided contact with non-lepers, but they usually kept close enough to populated areas to receive charity. And we see all of that happening in this story. There they are on the edge of the village as Jesus enters. And as he approaches, they do what they're supposed to do. They keep their distance. But still, they call out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." But now pay attention to what happens next. Because Jesus' next words are not words of healing, but rather instruction. "Go and show yourselves to the priests." It is what the law of Moses taught. According to the book of Leviticus, there were specific instructions to show oneself to a priest for an examination of one's cleanliness if you wanted to be reincorporated into the community. And so, as I said, they did what they were told. As do we, so often. Every religious community has its rules, its values, a way in which it structures its life, ideally for the benefit of the individuals in that community and so that the community may flourish. Every Sunday, for example, in the godly playrooms, Emily and Art, our godly play teachers, are asking our children to consider a way of being in this world, a way to explore the wonder of God's purpose and plan for us all and for their lives. They're being taught some specifics, too. Week after week, they are reminded how to enter the godly playroom, and indeed, how to enter this space and this place in a reverent and respectful manner. And we adults, we have our own rule of life here in this place, some of them written down, but some of them unwritten, rooted in our understanding of how God invites us to be in relationship with each other and with the world. And all of that is good. And in fact, the lepers became clean, all 10 of them, because they were obedient. Jesus said, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And the cleansing came in response. And as they went, they were made clean. Our life together is based on our willingness to be obedient to Jesus Christ. But I believe this story suggests that there is more to life with Christ than obedience. There is more to our life together than making sure we are following the rules. There is also, always, the encounter with the one whose presence and whose transforming work in us will evoke from us, in the deepest places of our hearts, gratitude and praise. One turned back because of his recognition that his cleansing had come from God, and he had to give thanks. He had to, in a sense, break the rules and go back and offer praise to Jesus, to God, and thanksgiving. It wasn't so much an act of obedience as it was a spontaneous expression of a person who was fully alive and fully healed. Yes, our life together is characterized by those rules and values and structures, but our life is ultimately not limited by those things, but by something more, the animating presence of Jesus Christ in the life of this community and in our individual lives. The faithful Christian is the one who, as Paul discovered, finds that full obedience results in full freedom. Because the word of God cannot be chained. A freedom to live out the gospel, even when that means turning back, turning aside, moving in a direction other than you might expect. And the story is not specifically a critique of Jewish ritual practice. It may be that because this Samaritan was a leper, or this leper was a Samaritan, an outsider, that he somehow felt a little bit more freedom to turn back. But every community, every religious body has its rules and values. And when we see the transformation that can occur, whether it's on a road in Palestine or elsewhere, it's remarkable to behold. I mean, consider for a moment what's been happening in Rome for the last 6 months. A new pope was elected. Now, every cardinal going into that enclave knew that if he was elected, what he was supposed to do. He would go out and greet the world from the balcony overlooking St. Peter's. He would don the papal vestments. He would move into the papal apartment and have the retinue of guards and escorts going with him wherever he went. But Francis did something else. He turned back upon his election. Actually, what he did was return to the hotel where he had been staying prior to the conclave to give thanks, to the staff that had served him, and to make sure he paid his bill. He did not move into the papal apartments. but is living in very simple quarters. And I would suggest that in his example and in his actions in these last 6 months, we see a kind of full obedience to Christ that has also resulted in a kind of freedom that is awakening the hearts and minds of many. And that is the invitation for us. During these weeks of October, we are hearing members of St. John's talk about the meaning of this parish to them, about their faith and about their giving to God through their financial gifts and their offerings of time and treasure. Now, when we talk about money here at St. John's, we do it unashamedly and unapologetically. Because we know that, yes, financial giving can be a discipline. It can be a way of structuring our life together so that our ministries can be carried out with effectiveness and we can share the good news with the world. But it is also more than that. For even as our financial giving is an act of obedience, it can and is an act of thanksgiving, an act of adoration, of praising God, and finding more freedom in our lives as we find ways to give ourselves away. And so my hope is that as we are invited to reflect on what we give and how we give, we do not approach it as something we are supposed to do, but rather as a response to what God in Christ is already doing in our lives and in the life of this church. For we too are a community like those lepers traveling along a road. And you know, I said earlier that our children are being taught to enter this place with a kind of reverence and respect, and I think they're doing a great job with that. But if truth be told, whenever they enter this church, there's already a lot of noise happening. There's a lot of shouting going on every single Sunday. For Sunday after Sunday, as we gather in this place, there are some of us calling out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. Jesus, Master, help me. Jesus, Master, heal my beloved." And at the same time, there is a lot of shouting going on, of people praising God and giving thanks for all the ways that their lives have already been transformed. So may God give us grace to be faithful in our obedience and to be faithful in our freedom, so that we amongst this mortal throng may indeed become masters of the song which is, Alleluia, Alleluia. Amen.